Good morning and welcome to worship. It's great to see so many young people in uniform and looking incredibly smart. I even combed my hair for today. Think that was a difficult job? Anyway, it's great to see you in worship this morning. George is going to take us through some of the intonations.
Morning, everybody. I'll reiterate everything that Norma has said. It's great to see young folks in our church this morning. And thanks very much. You're all looking very splendid in your uniforms. So well done and thank you. I'm here this morning to read the intimations out because we have people on Zoom. Hi, people on Zoom. And they don't have the intimations. So we read them out. So bear with me while I do that. Okie doke. Right. I think I've already said a very warm welcome to the Scouting and Guiding Organisation this morning. And thanks very much for coming along, folks, as I've said already. If you're a newcomer or visitor, and that includes our Scouting and Guiding, we've got a visitor's book out there. You can actually sign it and give us a wee comment. We're looking on star from 1 to 5. 1 means you're no very good, 5 means you're great. So anyway... Right, leading on, Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. The church is open every Thursday between 1 and 5 until the end of March. This week and every 2 weeks there'll be games and activities. There's also coffee, tea and sugar and biscuits, I'll just add that in. On alternate weeks the Sanctuary Cinema will provide a film. The next film on the 7th of March is, can I believe this one, Banshees of... Inisherin. That's what I thought it was. But I just knew I'd come to that word and make a mistake. Anyway, the film starts at 2. Warm Spaces is funded by Fife Council and the admission is free every week. Lent discussion groups. Discussion groups are now meeting at High Valley Field Church on Mondays from 10:30 a.m. until 12 noon. With tea, coffee and biscuits. And in the Irene Patterson room here in Kearney Hill on Tuesday evenings from 7 until 8 p.m. The groups are using Jesus Final Week, a Life Builder study resource. All are very welcome to that. World of Day Prayer. Our neighbouring congregation of Carnock and Oakley and Salon and Blair and Gone will hold a joint service together with the Church of the Holy Name on Friday the 1st of March at 2 o'clock at Oakley Church. Church Walk. The first church walk of the year will be Sunday the 3rd of March when we'll be going round Dunfermline Glen with the usual coffee stop. Meet in Kearney Hill Church Car Park at 2 o'clock. CATCH, and that stands for Kids at Church. Our monthly Kids at Church service is next week, the 3rd of March, and you're more than welcome to come along to CATCH. It's a lot of fun. There's an interactive way to explore the Bible and its stories, combining traditional fun with new technology. Other intimations. There are further informations on the printed sheet, and this can be viewed on our Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. Finally, and here's a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
One of the things that people learn about this church is that it can be quite an embarrassing place. And it's particularly embarrassing if you reach a particular day in your life. And I think it's Hazel's birthday today. Hazel's sitting in the front row here, and am I allowed to tell people how many candles on your cake? I am. 96 candles. And I have a feeling that you can't have a birthday without people singing happy birthday to you. So... will we sing? Yes. Okay. Right. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
So well done. You were born a long way away in India, in a very different time, in a different age. And if you want to know anything about that bit of the world and what it was like then, Hazel is full of stories. So, let's worship God. We're going to sing our first hymn, which is number 202 if you're using a hymn book. The words come up on screen. Stand up and bless the Lord. Bless our offering. Almighty God, we offer these gifts seeking your blessing. Accept all that we offer of our time, talent, and money. Help us to use your gifts in the service of this, your world. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. George is now going to lead us in our prayers.
Before I start, I want to tell you, I had a wee thought coming to church this morning. Thought to myself, I've forgotten my phone, because I need my phone for everything that I use nowadays, as I'm sure you all do as well. But what did occur to me this morning was, with this phone, I've got to have a service from the provider, or be able to get into the internet to use WhatsApp to talk to people. But you know, with praying, you don't need service, you don't need the internet. You quite simply just, if you want, think. If you want, just bow your head, close your eyes, and you've got contact with God right away. That's what occurred to me this morning. So that's one bit, that's one use I don't have to have for my phone. So I need to worry about bringing that this morning for this service. So if you've not got your phone, don't worry. We can still talk to God. So why don't we just do that? Let's give our prayers of thankfulness to God. Let us pray. Father God, it's sometimes very hard to understand that you are with us and part of us every day, and that you look after us all the time and you provide the marvellous things we enjoy every day. Marvellous God, we want to thank you for our family and friends, and we want to tell you how much we love them. We want to thank you for our teachers at school and all the people who are involved in our learning as we grow up, who have devoted their lives and through their love of teaching, tell us all about the many wonders in your world. We want to thank you for the fun we have playing and enjoying the company of friends. We want to thank you for the food we enjoy every day. We want to thank you for our mobile phones and computers that give us so much pleasure by being able to chat to our family and friends instantly, no matter where we are. And we want to thank you for Google, so we can find out all about the marvellous things in the world. Today, Father God, we want to thank you for the life of Lord Robert Baden-Powell, our founder, who gave us the gift of scouting and guiding to the world. And thank you for the life of Lady Olive Baden-Powell, the first world chief guide. We want to thank you for all our scouting and guiding leaders who have devoted their personal time and effort in the continuation of the amazing scouting worldwide organization. And now, we would like to pray together to you the Lord's Prayer, as taught to us by our Son, Jesus Christ, which will appear on the screen to help you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 159, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided.
Keep us on our way.
A number of years ago, I visited Scotland's secret bunker in the east of Fife. This underground installation is now a museum to tell us the story about the Cold War. Who's been to the secret bunker? Right. Not as many folk as I thought. It's actually worth a visit. For my generation, for people my age, the Cold War was real. There was real fear about what could happen. The USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, was feared. Moscow and the Kremlin were at the heart of an empire. And very strangely, when you look at the world today, it doesn't seem that much different. We thought at the end of the Cold War, that was going to be the end of all of that kind of people looking at each other as the enemy across what was called the Iron Curtain back then. The USSR has gone, but there is a standoff between Russia and NATO, and it looks very similar. But going back to the secret bunker, apart from a reminder of the time that I grew up in, I met some people there. I met some scouts from the USA who were on a visit to Fife, and they'd gone to the secret bunker, and I saw these people in a uniform I recognised, and I spoke to one of the leaders. It was that uniform that identified them. I wasn't in uniform. I was probably in jeans and a t-shirt. But I went up and I said, "I'm a scout chaplain." And I talked to them and we had a good chat. Why am I talking about this today? Well, the reason is I've chosen a theme that says yesterday, today, tomorrow. And that made me think about yesterday, when I grew up. And if you ask Hazel, she'll have even more stories because her stories go back a long way before mine. And there's today, where we're here, but what about tomorrow? When I'm planning for this service, I always look at the internet. And George has already given thanks for Google, which I'm not sure I've ever heard a prayer with giving thanks for Google. So that was unique, George. So I looked at the Guiding Movement website, and I looked at what it said about Founders Day for the Scouting Movement. Sure, I don't need to ask why we celebrate this Sunday so close to the 22nd of February. What's special about the 22nd of February? It's Thinking Day. Why is it Thinking Day? And his wife. Wasn't it his wife? His wife and they both had different years, but they had the same birthday. So well done. We're here today as part of two movements that are international. So just about anywhere you talk about in the world, there's scouting and there's guiding. And that means we're part of something big. It's so huge that it has potential. You know what the word potential means? Who can tell me what potential means? Any of the older boys and girls? It means you can do things. It's that bit in you that means you can do things. But what about the future? What will our future be as we travel from the past through the present into the future, going from yesterday through today to tomorrow? I chose two Bible readings. The one from the Old Testament tells us there's a time for everything. And our reading from the New Testament tells us the best way to make the world a better place. The first reading is from a book of the Old Testament called Ecclesiastes, which is not the easiest word to say. And the second reading is from 1 Corinthians. And I think somebody from Guiding is going to read from Ecclesiastes. Is that right? And the words will come up on screen, or you've probably got them printed as well. And there's somebody from Scouting is going to read from 1 Corinthians.
The first reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, then 9 to 12. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live.
Second reading is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8 and 13. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love.
Thank you very much. Very well read. We're going to sing hymn 164, God Gave Me Eyes So I Could See.
Oh,
a couple of questions. I'm going to use two words, and I'd like to know what they mean. So I'd like somebody to tell me what kind of person an optimist is. Do you know what an optimist is? They might well think outside the box. That's a good answer. Hadn't thought about that one. What's an optimist?
A positive thinker.
A positive thinker. Are you a positive thinker? Yes. Good. An optimist is a positive thinker. That's a good answer. So, what's a pessimist? Somebody who doesn't have positive thoughts, yes, it's kind of the opposite, isn't it? A pessimist sees all the things that are empty. Sometimes we describe an optimist as having a glass half full person, and sometimes we describe a pessimist as a glass half empty type of person. And that is, if I were to pour you a glass of juice and it only came up to halfway in the glass, the optimist goes, "Oh good, I've got half a glass of juice," and it disappears. The pessimist goes, it's only half full. It's missing something. There are people in the world who are natural optimists and everything's great. They see what's wonderful in everything. And there are people who are pessimists and they're always looking for what's wrong. And I think most of us are probably a bit of a mixture. Our readings today have two very different people writing the story. In the book of Ecclesiastes, a person who simply calls themselves the teacher. So we don't know who the teacher was. Some people think it was King Solomon, but it might not have been. It could have been somebody who just knew Solomon, or maybe it was one of his children. We don't know who it was, but they call themselves the teacher, and they're a bit of a pessimist. And from our New Testament reading, we have Paul, and he's writing a letter to a church in a town called Corinth, and he's an optimist. The teacher looks at the world, past and present, and concludes, there's nothing new. There's nothing new in the world. If you see anything and you think it's new, it's been before. Now, you might have heard me saying something a bit like that earlier in the service. We look at the world today, and it looks like the world of the Cold War when I was your age. And one of the teacher's favourite phrases is that everything, whether it's good or bad, whether he likes it or doesn't like it, everything in life is vanity. That means it's just something that isn't worth very much. And trying on to hold on to anything, well, it's a bit like chasing after the wind. Anybody ever managed to chase after the wind and catch it? No. The teacher would have fitted into that part of our Scottish character, which we sometimes describe as dour. He would have delighted in words like dreich and trochelt. On a dreich day, I'm sometimes fair trochelt. In the face of optimism, there is a perverse pleasure in saying things like, "Not a lovely day." And I've done it. I think I've done it myself. I've said, "Oh well, it'll no last." I think I must be Scottish. The big problem faced by the teacher is that God won't allow him to rest in his pessimism. God keeps showing him things that are wonderful. And everything he sees that's wrong in life as an opposite. And so he in the middle of this book, he says, you know, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And he comes to the conclusion there are two different things in there. The joys of life challenge his pessimism. Paul is a different character. Paul, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that Paul was a very serious person and saying you've got to do this and you've not to do that, and he was quite good at lecturing folk. But actually, the more I read about Paul, I've discovered somebody different. He's writing to people in 1 Corinthians. He's writing to a church in a place called Corinth. Now, Corinth wasn't a very easy place to live because it was a big city and all sorts of things happened there and people did all sorts of things. I mean, you wouldn't leave your door open, you wouldn't leave anything lying about. It was not a safe place. But the people in the church had become a bit argumentative. Do you know what that means? How many people here like to argue? How many people here fall out with each other? How many people say that's better than that? How many people here support a team? You know? And if somebody supports a different team? Now, I'm wearing two different badges on my lapel. One of them is Boys Brigade, and one of them is Scouting. And do you want to know what BBs say about Scouts? No, I'm not going to tell you. Do you know what Scouts say about BBs? So it's very easy to get divided up. And people were saying, oh, but we like this and we prefer this. And they were making a mess of things. And Paul tells them that you shouldn't be doing this. But he actually says, you're better than this. You're great people. All the evidence says that you're making a right mess of it. But Paul says, no, you've got the potential to be so much better. You're God's people. And so he's optimistic about what they can be, even though everything about them was different. In preparing for today and looking at the theme for Thinking Day and thinking about meeting that group of scouts at the secret bunker and that theme of our world, our thriving future. Now, I hope those in guiding are very impressed because I normally ask the leaders if they know what the theme for this year is. Did you come prepared? And what struck me in there was that word, thriving. Really? You can talk about our thriving future when you look at the state of the world. And I realise, of course, which bit of me is that? The optimist or the pessimist? I think it might be the pessimist. Well, that can't be right. We can't really be talking that way, surely. And I think maybe the teacher who wrote Ecclesiastes would have been in absolute agreement with me, saying, how can you talk about a thriving future? But maybe the teacher isn't as much of a pessimist as we think, because he looked at the problems of the world and he recognised that all that wrong was there, but he doesn't forget good. He doesn't understand what God's doing, and there's a lot of us, and even people who've worshipped God for a very, very long time, say, I really don't know what God's doing. But there's something about people that longs for good rather than bad. And the teacher sees in this that there's something beyond what we can see. And the way that he says it is, you know what? There's something in human beings that's about eternity. And eternity is not about, that's outside time, that's outside where we are. There's something more to us. And you might say, what is it that gives somebody like Paul any kind of hope for the future when the people he's talking to have made an absolute shambles of things? And sometimes in church we do look at ourselves and go, maybe we're not doing as well as we should. But there's something about us that's better than we think. What was it that the Baden-Powells saw in young people? Now, how many young people have heard grumpy old folk going, see the youth of today, see these youngsters, they don't know how to behave, they're stuck in their phones, George. They pay no attention, they're noisy. All of these things were said to me when I was a child. Are they true? I think the answer is that the Baden-Powells saw in young people all those years ago something that was great. They said, look at what you're capable of. You've got real potential. Uniforms and badges tell people that we belong to something. But it's not the uniform or the badge that counts. It's what's behind it. It's what's inside the uniform. Paul had lots of things to say about living and working together. It would have been very easy for him to slip into giving people lots of rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that, here's how you should live, this is how you behave. But I've heard something about scouting and guiding that I've made a mistake at times, and other people make this mistake because they talk about uniformed organisations. And I don't know how many times I've been corrected, because apparently you're not an organisation. You're not about rules and regulations. You're a movement. There's a scouting movement and a guiding movement. What do you think a movement is? What's the first bit of that? I'll ask across here. What's the first bit of movement? It's the word move. And move means that you're not staying still. We're moving. You're in a movement. And that picks up what Paul wanted to say to the church in Corinth and what the author of Ecclesiastes saw in humanity. There is something that makes us bigger and better. And Paul tells us that there are three really important things. And these are not about rules. They're not about regulations. He said there are three things. There's faith, there's hope, and there's love. And people would have said, well, the faith you believe comes first, and that gives you the hope, and then you might manage this bit about loving each other. And he says, well, actually, it's the other way around. The most important thing is love. And love changes how you behave. If you love people around you, you care about them. If you love the world around you, you care about it. And that means you're going to act in a particular way. And there's something else that's going to happen now. You're going to renew your promises. And one of the things that I learned very early on when I became involved with scouting and guiding is that these promises don't have a time limit. What do you call something that has no time limit? That might be to do with eternity. So here's this moment where you're going to make a promise, and for people who've made these promises before, there's no time limit. It just goes on. The badge doesn't count unless we live out what's behind the badge. The uniform is meant to show who we are inside. And so just like I looked at that group of scouts all those years ago and went, I know something about you because I'm a scout chaplain. And I was able to speak to them. We are meant to live out what we promise without a time limit. And when that is hard, we've always got God with us. So I'm going to ask the people who are going to lead those promises if they would like to come out. And if I could ask if you use the microphone, because without the microphone, people on Zoom and the recording won't have any, there'll just be silence in there. So if you could stand behind the microphone, that would be helpful. So I'm now looking expectantly at guiding and scouting to see who's in charge.
I promise that I will do my best to be true to myself and develop my beliefs, to serve the King and my community, to help other people and to keep the guide law.
I promise to be...
Beavers, stand up, take the scout side, Beavers. Just like we do at the start of the meeting. Okay?
Nice loud voice.
Nice loud voices.
I promise to be kind and helpful and to love our world.
Right, three calves, stand up and make the scout sign. Well done. So after three, one, two, three. I promise that I will do my best to do my duty to God and to the King, to help other people and to keep the Cub Scout law.
Scouts, explorers and leaders, make the scout sign as well. On my honour, I promise to do my best to do my duty to God and to the King, to help other people and to keep the scout law.
Prayers for the world and others. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we would to you now pray for an end to all places where war and conflict exist in our world, as we witness on our televisions daily. We pray for our fellow scouts and guides and their family and friends in the country of Ukraine, who are entering their third year of war with Russia. We pray for our fellow scouts and guides and their family and friends in the country of Palestine, who are enduring unimaginable suffering caused by the relentless bombardment by Israel, as we witness daily on our televisions. We pray for our fellow scouts and guides and their family and friends who are suffering in Ethiopia as a result of the most recent civil war, making hundreds and thousands of people homeless as they flee to safer places in their country. And yet again, that country is suffering from another very bad drought, which has resulted in a vast shortage of food. Father God, we would wish to pray for all our fellow scouts and guides, their family and friends, who are suffering as a direct result of climate change in many parts of your world. We would pray that the leaders and decision makers throughout the world continue to reduce the amount of use of natural materials that are the cause of the global warming. Father God, be with and give comfort to all who are currently in hospital in our country and help them to recover. Be with and give comfort to all who are struggling to buy food or heat their homes due to the financial crisis in our country. And we pray that our country's leaders will continue to find the money to give them support. Father God, now, during a few moments of silence, we would bring to you our personal prayers for our family and friends who we know do need your help and comfort at this time. Helpful and comforting God, we thank you for listening to our prayers. Amen.
Going to sing the national anthem, hymn number 703, God Save the King. peace, to love and to serve, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.